Good morning. You bring up the first slide, please, Ian. This is the world's largest freshwater pearl, sold this week for $334,000. What do you think? Is it worth it? I don't think it looks very impressive. It's a funny shape, isn't it? You wouldn't be able to display that and get a great reaction. But it says in the Bible that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it. When you look at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see this brutal crucifixion. People wear crosses, don't they, as items of jewelry? But you should never wear a cross unless you understand what it is. It's something that is of a brutal crucifixion. But through that brutal crucifixion, humanity was reconciled to God. Through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be friends with God. And when we understand what God has done for us, how can we not then give all of our lives to Him in response? But when you look at that cross, it doesn't seem like the sort of thing you would give your life for. When we think about giving, sometimes we talk about my time, my money. But it says in the Bible that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So it's His time that He gives to us, and the amount of time we spend on this earth is by His decision. He can extend our lives, He can shorten our lives. Straight away, it's His time, it's not our time. And it's His resources. He's given it to us as a trust, as a stewardship. And the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. When Alison asks me to help out with the housework, I just leap for joy. I just go running into the kitchen. I say, yes, what would you like me to do? No, it's not like that, I'm afraid. Sometimes it's, I'm really busy. Do you not realize how busy I am? God loves a cheerful giver. There's all the difference between someone who gives cheerfully and someone who feels they're being forced into it. Okay, 5%, 6%, 7%, 8%, 9%, okay, 10%. That's very different to someone who says, everything I have is yours. What do I need? I'll give you the rest. Listen to these words from 2 Corinthians. This is the description of this church that we have been learning about for 6 months now. We're coming to an end next week. But this is how Paul talks about this church to another church. Listen to these words. These words are amazing. He's saying to the church in Corinth, I want you to know about this church in Philippi, about the brothers in Macedonia. I want you to know about the grace that God has given these Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, they had big problems. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy, their extreme poverty, welled up in rich generosity. Isn't that amazing? This is not grudging giving. This is cheerful giving. This is not giving when times are good. This is giving when times are at their hardest. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. How do you do that? How do you give beyond your ability? Let's explore that together this morning. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Please let us be a part of this ministry. Please let us give to this ministry. Don't let us lose out. We want to be a part of it. Wow. That is giving, which we don't come across very often. I'll tell you one church that's a bit like that. You know, we do the Alpha course. Danny is leading an Alpha course at his workplace at the moment. There's 15 people every week for a lunchtime coming every week. And this Thursday, Danny and I are going away, not for a holiday. We're going away to share a day with these guys, to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how you can have a relationship with him. Do you know we're going to be using videos, the Alpha film series, which has been shot all around the world. Do you know how much the Alpha resources cost us as a church? Zero. How much does it cost us for the film series? Nil. We download it. How much does it cost us for the manuals? Nil. Why is that? Because as a church, they have a vision to give away all the resources for free. How do they do that? They do that because there are people who are pleading with them, let us be a part of this ministry. Let us give to this Alpha ministry so that other people can get it for free. What a blessing it has been to us these last few years to see so many people come to faith in Jesus through that ministry. And yet we've received that help for free. Christian giving, first of all, is inspired by the grace of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish but have an eternal life. God is a generous God, isn't he? He's a generous God. Right at the heart of what we know about God is that he gives. He's a giving God. Have you ever been forgiven? Do you know the blessing of being forgiven? God is a forgiving God. His Son died on the cross. The cross. God, who is rich, who lives in eternity, comes to this earth. He humbles himself and becomes obedient to death, even death on a cross. And on the third day, God raises him from the dead. God, although he was rich, became poor for our sakes in order that we may become rich. Look what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in descending from heaven to earth so that we could go from earth to heaven. This is our generous God. And when we understand what he has done for us, we will be cheerful givers, joyful givers, because of the grace of God and the cross of Christ. Christian giving is about partnership in the gospel. If you turn back with me to Philippians for a moment, just have a look at some of these verses. Listen to how Paul talks about this church. He's in prison in Ephesus, and he says, it was good of you to share in my troubles. As you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, the good news about Jesus, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you. Isn't that amazing? All these churches that Paul had planted, none of them were sending him money except the Philippians. They didn't send it once, they send it several times. They were the kind of church that didn't want to miss out. They said, please let us be a part of your ministry, even though you've left us. You've gone on to other things, but we want to keep supporting you. I had an experience when Alison and I were in Newcastle upon Tyne. We were part of a wonderful church fellowship. It was a church fellowship which was in one of the most deprived areas of Tyne and Wear. There were bars on the windows of the houses on the streets. There were drug dealers at one end and the other end of the street. And in this little church, I was served as an elder, and then after about 3 years, this church discerned a call for me to leave my job at Nissan and go to London Bible College. There wasn't a Bible college in Newcastle. And Alison and I were earning good wages. We were not going to approach this church and ask for any support. It just wouldn't have been right. So we used all our savings, paid for all the course fees ourselves, paid for all the living expenses ourselves. The cost of living in London was about 2.5 to 3 times what it was in Newcastle. And God provided in every way. Provided through having a wife that is able to earn, even though she had a little baby. Angus was born about a week after we arrived in London. And Alice went back out to work 3 months later to pay the bills. And I, myself and Granny, learned how to do the childcare. More Granny than myself, I have to say. I wouldn't want to take any credit for that. Granny did it and I hid. But basically, at the end of the course, our principal of the Bible College wrote to all the churches and he said, do you know that some of the students may be facing financial hardship and they will not tell you about it. So maybe it'd be quite good for you to write a pastoral letter and to find out how they're getting on. So we got this pastoral letter through from our church in Newcastle. They'd supported us in prayer so wonderfully all that time. And they said, I just want you to ask you, Alistair, how's it going financially? How's it going financially? I wrote a letter straight back saying, God has provided wonderfully. Alison has got this wonderful job. God is able to meet all our needs. There's no problem at all. Thank you very much. What a blessing it is that you wrote to us. Yours sincerely, Alistair. Letter came straight back saying, no, we really want to know. We really want to know. We sent you off to ministry. We didn't give you a gift when you left. We've been praying for you, but we really want to know. How is it? And I just wrote back and said, basically we're fine, but of course we've got a few thousand pounds of overdraft at the end of the course, and I've got a student loan. Next week, check arrives in the post, £6,000. And they said, we want to be a part of your ministry. We don't want you to leave Bible College in debt. Do I understand what partnership in the gospel is? Of course I do, because I've experienced it personally. They didn't just want to wish me well. They said, we want to be a part of. They even said in the letter, we know that you will probably not come back and preach here very often, if at all. But we want to make a kingdom investment in your ministry so that other churches can be blessed. That is partnership in the gospel. That's what the Philippians were doing for Paul. It says here, or Paul says to these Philippians, he says, I have received full payment, even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. This is Paul saying, thank you for the gift. These gifts are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. A fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice. See, giving is part of our worship. Giving is part of our worship. Therefore, in the light of what Christ has done for us, we are to offer the whole of our lives as a living sacrifice. The whole of our lives, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And Paul says this financial gift that has arrived is like a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable to God. And boy, was this a sacrifice. These guys were going through a severe trial. They were in extreme poverty. And yet, they decided in their hearts to give to the mission of Christ through the Apostle Paul. Giving is proportionate. We know that in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, which is a wonderful study of Christian giving, it says that the gift is according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. So there's a sense there in that the more we have, the more is asked of us. And as our income rises, that's a time when we can be tempted to basically not increase our giving. God blesses us with more, and our giving stays the same. That can't be right. And it says in the Bible that in Romans 12, verse 8, that there are many different gifts given within the body of Christ, and some people are given a particular gift and responsibility of generosity. He says to the Corinthians, make sure you excel in the grace of giving. Make sure that you don't not use what God has given you. And finally, this giving is relying on God's promise. Relying on God's promise. What is that promise? Well, we see that at the end of this letter, in verse 19, it says, these guys have given sacrificially. It must have been so hard for them. We just don't know what that meant for them to give this gift in terms of hardship. But Paul says to them, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. See, what Paul is saying here is that he has experienced what it is to be hungry. He has experienced what it is to have plenty. As he has been obedient to God and as he has served God, he has experienced different kinds of circumstances. But in his hardest times, he's relied on God even more. In his hardest times, he's found that God has come through for him. He says that in all circumstances, I rely on the strength that God gives me. And he's seeking to be an example to the Philippians. He's saying, I've been like that merchant that has sold everything he has and has gone for that pearl of great price. I consider everything rubbish. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus and making him known to others. And as I've gone for it with the whole of my life, I have known hardship. But in my hardship, I have felt God's power. I have known Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings, and I have experienced the power of his Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And he says, and that same God, my God, will be able to meet your needs, physical and spiritual, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. This is a bicycle which is not one that many of us will be cycling. It's the one that the Team Sky use. It's a Pinarello. And do you know what it's called? It's called a Pinarello F13. It's one of the best bikes in the world. They use it in the Tour de France. Do you know what the F13 stands for? The F13 stands for Philippians chapter 4. And verse 13, because the bike designer decided to put on the bike, just where the handlebars were, a reference to his favorite Bible verse. And the favorite Bible verse is this. He says, I am strong enough for all these circumstances in my union with him who strengthens me. I am strong enough for all these circumstances in my union with him who strengthens me. And as you respond to Jesus Christ, your Lord, he may call you to make sacrifices. He may call you to go through hardship for the sake of Christ. But you will know a close fellowship with him, in union with him, and he will strengthen you. And the wonderful thing is, he may strengthen you through another brother or sister. He may strengthen you through a gift that comes from left field that you weren't expecting, because God put it in the heart of someone else to bless you. So when he says, God strengthens me, he's also open to the fact that God often strengthens us through the gift and giving of others. So do not worry about what you will eat or what you will wear. Remember God who feeds the birds, who clothes the flowers of the field, which are here today and tomorrow are thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. As I was worshiping with you this morning, a sentence came into my mind. So we were singing, Holy, Holy, Holy. And it was this. It was from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Set apart Christ as Lord. Is Christ your Lord? Do you believe he's Lord of all? Set him apart. Set him apart. Set him apart. What is God calling you to set apart for him and for his kingdom and for his glory? Amen.